I'm going to share a little bit about my week because it's been coloring everything I've been reading from the lessons this week. I need to let you know that my brother Jonas was married this last Friday, and so I've been thinking about marriages and people committing to live lives together as I've been reading the readings for this week. So, you know, when you have an experience like that in your family, it kind of is a set of lenses that you wind up looking at everything through. So as I was looking at things, it struck me as very appropriate that on this Father's Day weekend, we've got the story of Samuel going to Jesse, the Bethlehemite, who is sort of best known in the Bible for his role as father. And we have this story about the calling of David to be a king. And this is sort of wonderful in its drama and suspense, right? We have Samuel going, and he kind of has to sneak there, and as we were discussing in the adult forum, he sneaks in the unusual way of leading a cow down the road, which is about the least sneaky way to travel that you could possibly imagine. And he comes, and he performs this sacrifice, and he invites Jesse's family kind of as a pretext for getting a good look at his sons, because he knows at some point God's going to speak to him and name one of his sons to be the new king to replace Saul, who has gone and become exactly the kind of bad king that God warned everybody about. So, and then we get this sort of next wonderful dramatic moment where the sons come and kind of are paraded forward, and you know, there's Eliab, who Samuel looks at and thinks, you know, wow, yeah, this guy. And I've kind of always pictured him like a young Arnold Schwarzenegger. You know, kind of, I mean, it says, don't look on his stature or his appearance, but, you know, I kind of imagine this sort of big, brawny guy that Samuel's looking at thinking like, yeah, there's a king. Like, let's get that guy in the front of our army and head of our nation. Like, yes, he can be our defender. Let's, you know, here's the guy. And there's this parade of these, you know, big, beautiful sons who kind of go through, and he's thinking, this guy, and you know, God stays silent, and no, and no. And finally, he's sort of almost in a kind of, you know, and I imagine this being sort of like setting up a VCR or something. He kind of thinks, well, wait a minute, we've done everything, but I don't have the Lord's anointed yet. And he goes back to Jesse, and he says, well, is there a part missing? And sure enough, Jesse says, you know, I do have one other son, and he's the youngest. And he's so young that he hasn't even come to the sacrifice. He's out watching the sheep. And that's the unexpected moment, isn't it? That the king over Israel will not be the man of great stature, the firstborn, the eldest, this Eliab who Samuel has looked on and thought, surely him. But that the king over Israel will be the man who's been off in the fields taking care of the sheep, and that he will become the Lord's anointed. Now, a story from my weekend is that my brother Peter and I, who attended my brother Jonas's wedding, were sort of getting our heads together and thinking, well, what are we going to do for Dad for Father's Day? Because we're not going to be able to compete with Jonas. Jonas got him a daughter-in-law. And I have to imagine that if there'd been a Father's Day around this ancient Hebrew story of Samuel coming to Jesse's household, the other brothers might have felt about the same way. You know, what are we going to do for Dad now? You know, David is the Lord's anointed. That's the kind of unexpectedness that we're invited to think about and wonder at. And that's what Jesus teaches about in this parable of a mustard seed. I was trying to get into the story, and I was thinking, if you were to take a bunch of different kinds of seeds and kind of lay them out on a table before a young person and say, which of these, you know, an almond and a walnut and then this mustard seed, you know, this tiny little thing that we mostly see today in fancy mustards, but this little tiny brown seed, if you were to lay them out on a table and say, which of these is growing into a shrub that's 10 or 12 or 15 feet high, it's going to take a while before you guess this little tiny thing. And as the gospel says, you know, it sprouts and it grows, and we don't quite understand the miracle of that. It's something that happens, and you rest night and day, and after a while, all of a sudden, you've got this giant thing that has kind of exploded out of this tiny little seed. If you've ever had a chance to watch one of those National Geographic-style kind of time-elapsed videos of the growing of a plant, I mean, it's astonishing what happens, this sort of breaking forth out of a shell and this shooting up towards the sun and this drawing in of water and nutrients, all the things that allow growth to happen, kind of mixing together and spreading out into the sky. It's unexpected. It's God at work in the life of the world. As I was reading this story this week, and as I was kind of thinking, as I said, about my brother's wedding, I was considering the ways in which his marriage is, in a way, the vocation of his life. It's what he's really called into. He and his wife, Brooke, are really called to be together, and they are richer and fuller people together than they were apart. And I got to thinking about mustard seeds growing into trees and what it is that we do that lets us kind of grow into the mustard tree versions of ourselves. When is it that we have the fullest lives that we can have? Because that's God's hope for us, is that we'll do this thing and that we'll spread out branches much broader and higher than we ever imagined we would. And something else stood out to me about this parable this time. There is a sort of line that goes by in it as you read it that I hadn't caught in the same way before, but that really stuck with me this time. It's about what happens after the branches grow. If you see this, the seed sprouts and it grows into the greatest of all shrubs and puts forth large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. Now, as I was watching all of the family and friends who had gathered around my brother and his wife on the occasion of their marriage, I could see them taking in the sort of light of the thing and breathing in what Jonas and Brooke were doing and the way they'd found each other. And I realized that they were drawing strength and warmth and shelter and encouragement from this thing that Jonas and Brooke were doing too. Now that shouldn't have been unexpected, because that's exactly what we're called to do as Christians. We're called to take in blessings, not just so that we grow, but so that we can be blessing to the world around us. The mustard seed sprouts and puts forth large branches, not only that it might be this glorious, gigantic, surprising tree, but so that the birds of the air, who have need of shelter and shade, can stop and take a minute and rest in its branches. We were talking about the lessons in the adult forum between services a bit, and someone made the point that there's not a lot of shade in Israel. It's not a place you think of for its shade. So it takes something like this. It takes a mustard tree to kind of cast branches out so that that thing can be there for the birds. I want you to imagine, in the way that a child might, that you are both these things, that you've got it in you to both be the bird in the air that needs to stop and rest now and then, but also to be the tree spreading forth branches that now and then offers shelter and shade to birds that are traveling past. It's kind of a funny relationship, isn't it? Because sometimes birds certainly don't think about the gifts that trees are giving them, and trees may not notice that birds have stopped for a moment and alighted there. But they do wind up giving the birds just what they need for that time. Again, I'm struck by the appropriateness of that lesson for Father's Day. One of the best images that I have of the gifts that fathers can be in the world comes from another tree analogy, the children's book, The Giving Tree. It's a story about a young boy who kind of has a favorite tree growing up in his backyard, and over the course of his life, he'll sort of go to the tree and he'll need a shady spot, and the tree will say, "Come and sit in my shade." Or he'll need a place to exercise, and the tree will say, "Come and climb my branches." Or he'll come and he'll say, I'm hungry, and the tree will say, well, come and pick the fruit from my branches. And finally, the boy grows up and goes off and gets married. Again, that's just a lens I can't get off my eyes this week, but the boy grows up and gets married, and the tree says, well, come and chop down my trunk and take the logs away and build a house to live in. Now, that might be an appropriate metaphor more for fathers of daughters who have paid for a wedding. But it's exactly what we're called to do. We really do give gifts from ourselves over and over again, whether it's shade or branches or even all of ourselves, ultimately, in our lives, for the people around us, for our children, for the birds of the air. Sometimes, just without realizing it, we provide shade for a stranger who needed it. And sometimes we look back and realize that even though we've been reduced to stumps, we've become unexpectedly much greater than we ever thought we could have been, because we've been offering everything we had by the grace of God to each other. So my prayer for us this week is that we might imagine how it is in our lives that we are mustard trees, and who has been a mustard tree to us when we needed a place to stop and take shelter. May we always remember that it's the living God who through Christ has redeemed the world who invites us to rest in that relationship of self-giving love. In Jesus' name, amen.